God, we do thank you that we can shout from the depths of our soul that we are so glad to be here and to be glad to be your children. And so we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of it. We thank you for the hope in it as we gather that we know that you are our God. We are your people. Thank you for the anticipation of answered prayers, our loved ones feeling better, our world getting better because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. And so we thank you. We come and we thank you for your word. We pray that today as we open it, you inspire us. That we'll draw from your word instruction to apply to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your encouragement, that you strengthen us to deal with life and its challenges. And we pray that you will make us a blessing to the people in our lives, and especially for those dealing with challenges. Lord, we love you so much. And again, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it was 3 years ago today that Grandma graduated from this life here on earth to her home in heaven. And I have imagined over and over that she was greeted by a large group of people, including three men in particular. Her two husbands and my dad. Now that's an interesting group, but I just imagine because everything is perfected and completed that Grandpa Max and Grandpa Carl had already worked out what's happening in heaven now. So that's all good. But my dad, he had, he had died 30. Well, it was 30 years prior to Grandma. And so imagining him greeting her brought me back to what Grandma used to say. And in fact, my mom reminded me of this week. She said, you know, your dad married my family. And mom was an only child and very young when she and dad met and married and had me. But she said, she said that he so loved the family, that her mom and dad and her were a tight family. And dad enjoyed my grandma as much as anyone on this planet. And so I just imagine their greeting was something else. Perfect unity is God's way. That's the kingdom's way of life. And I think this is what's in Paul's heart as he is wrapping up his letter to the church in Philippi. What's coming? We're in this time in between. And, you know, he's writing from prison to believers in Philippi to encourage them. And I want to... this morning, usually we just do these 3 points, but we're going to do actually 4 points today. And so the introduction is going to be one separate point. And let's look at verses 1-3 in chapter 4. Paul writes, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." And then he writes, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." So Paul he's wrapping up his letter. And he mentions this loyal yoke fellow. He mentions two people in particular, these two women who apparently have had some kind of falling out. They were in disagreement with each other, and perhaps in a strong way. If Paul heard about it, it must have been something significant. And so he writes... after his expression of family love, he calls on all of us to assist in overcoming this disunity, because disunity is a disastrous thing. And that's something that, you know, we probably would tend to overlook because there's so much of it. But Paul didn't. And I think it's something very important for us to take to heart. It's contrary to apostolic thinking, this idea of being divided over whatever. He didn't mention what it is. He didn't mention that one of you's wrong and one of you's right, so the one that's wrong, go apologize. There's no indication of who's to blame. He's just saying, help them to get over this. It's what's most important is that we're family, right? That we're where we're headed, there's no problem. We're going to be one people, the children of God. And so, church, he's writing from prison, get over it. Help each other to get over whatever's dividing you. Because that's what apostolic thinking is. That's what we have in the New Testament, is the apostles thinking on the scriptures, on life, on the church. So this squabbling that was taking place between Euodia and Syntyche was against the way of life, the way that Paul was instructing the church. He says it's a denial of the nature of the church, or he implies that the nature of the church is a family. We're one. We are one in Christ Jesus. That is a beautiful thing. And we enjoy that, but we also have to protect that and live that. And then it's a flaw in the church's armor against evil. Ooh. Yes, we do not want to be a church that is known for being divided, nitpicking one another. We come in and we can't stand the thought of being together. What? That isn't what I experienced this morning, so I don't think we're there, but we've got to protect against that. So the next verses, 4-9, we're going to look at the needs, the promises, and the conditions of what Paul is sharing with us about our Christian peace. He writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." All right, so we're going to look at this. First, the needs. What our needs are to have this peace. Paul says to guard your hearts and minds. Our hearts and minds need to be guarded. Our hearts, he's talking about that inner side of our personalities, the inner source from which everything flows, our thoughts and emotions. Our minds is the outflow of our hearts, our plans, our imaginations. I love the idea of our hearts and minds being protected this way. Guard or keep these in Christ Jesus. In other words, focus. Keep Jesus central in our life. Remember the little booklet called My Heart, Christ's Home? Is written by, I forget the guy's name. We've given out those booklets before. Maybe I'll see if I can find them again. I know they're out of print, but this, help me with the author if you remember him. Okay. Fair enough. So the author takes us through a trip through the heart of himself in these various rooms. But in the living room, the very center place, the author gets a little nervous when Jesus is going to come with him as a tour of his house. And he sees the magazines on the table and he thinks, that might not be good. And then he sees other things. And what Jesus does is he says to him, you know what will help? Is if you just put a picture of me central in this room where you can see me all the time. And that whole concept of guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, keeping Jesus central to our thoughts, is really important. Live in his presence. Live in the conscious presence of God, which we do by prayer, in constant communication with and gratitude, a humble recognition of God's grace. That's how we live in his presence. And know the God of peace. Paul writes, the peace of God, which transcends which transcends all understanding, is the God of peace. He is with us, and we need to know it. Now, that was hard for you to hear because I'm coughing like a thing. But the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, we're not going to be explaining this, but we trust it. We know it, and we experience it. So we need our hearts and minds guarded. We need his presence, and we need to know his peace. Let's look at the promises. I'll read the verses again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The peace Paul refers to is the Hebrew concept shalom, right? So it's not just it's a much deeper peace than we just think of having no issues or problems. It's much deeper than that peaceful, easy feeling, like a Sunday morning. You know the song. But it is peace with God. That's shalom, indicates a peace that we would have with God. That's Paul wishes upon us. That's what God promises, that we have peace with him. It's peace with people, that we have peace with one another, that we're not divided, but we're at peace with one another. That's part of this shalom. It's peace with our business and our comings and goings, the things that we're involved in, that we would have peace with those things. It's a peace with the land that we live in and on, and the people, the peace in the whole. It's a deep and broad peace, and it's a peace which passes understanding. God's presence is supernatural. His peace is beyond comprehension. And this is why we pray, and with confidence that he hears us and is with us. This is what led Bertha to have Rex bring her in this morning. I need God's healing touch. And I think if I go and just have prayer with my church, I'll be okay. Not wanting to expose the whole church to anything, she comes and she just gets prayer. That's peace beyond understanding. That's a motivating peace. Peace with God's companionship. He meets our needs. Our hearts and minds are guarded. I had a meeting last week with one of my hospice patients, and they were business people who happened to be missionaries for their Pentecostal church. And because he was a businessman, in his trips to China with a large group of people, all pastors but him, he would have the task of bringing suitcases of Bibles in. And, you know, this is a mild-mannered guy who wouldn't break the law, you know, at all. I mean, but he told story after story of God orchestrating these suitcases going unchecked and providing God's word to the church, which, you know, had been driven underground by communism and was flourishing. Oh my goodness. But the storytelling that took place that day, I told him, I said, you know, as your hospice chaplain, I come here to encourage you. And I'm walking out of here 4 feet off the ground because of the stories you're telling me. It was amazing. But God was with him. And that's what he kept saying is, you know, and if you've got a Pentecostal background, this will make sense to you. I heard the Lord say, trust me. And that's what got him through these otherwise harrowing circumstances. Just the presence of the Lord. Peace with God's companionship, and peace that is powerful. We may be tempted to think of peace as soft or like a spiritual marshmallow type of thing, but God's peace is strong and powerful. It overcomes the sin that separates. It overcomes death. There is nothing to worry about in Christ because of this peace we have with God and with one another. Again, I repeat the verses and we'll look at the conditions of this peace that we have. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. A law for our relationships. We rejoice in the Lord because He is with us. In Him we get our gentleness. In Him we are able to overcome our differences. In Him we can love others and maintain unity and live at peace. Our Christianity is all about relationships. It's all about relating to God and to people. Okay? God's not so messy. People is messy. It's just messy. And yet, we rejoice in the Lord because He helps us in these messy relationships. And I will always be an advocate for whispering a prayer, God help me in this encounter, whatever it is we have, just to always be aware that His presence can help us relationally. Okay? It's a law for our circumstances. in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. By prayer, our anxiety is resolved by trust in the Lord. By thanksgiving, anxiety is resolved by an acceptance of His sovereignty. It helps with the why questions. So many why questions when we experience things that we don't understand. I had a bereavement group on Monday where one of our one of the Hospice of the Valley's patients who had died, rather young man, his wife came, and the first week couldn't say a word. You know, it was just overwhelming. And I asked her afterwards, "Are you okay?" She said, "I couldn't talk today, but I felt so safe." Like, good. The second week, she spoke up because the issue we were talking about was anger. And she was explaining how she's angry with God. Her husband was a good man. He fought cancer for many, many years. And she had why questions. And she said, "You know, it's okay for me to be angry with God because He's my Father. He can handle it. His love is unconditional." I thought, the insight. This woman understands what Paul was getting at when he writes this to us, to have this trust in the Lord, this idea that our circumstances, it's okay to be angry, it's okay to have the feelings, and it's okay to aim your anger at God because He's our Father. And I think if we can keep in perspective that the sovereign God who created everything, who when we think about this universe that, you know, scientists tell us we're finding is so amazingly huge, and when you put Earth in perspective, we are just a little tiny little. But when you recognize that Creator is with us, that He claims us as His children, then you don't have to worry about any feeling, about any unresolved issue, because He is with you. He is with us. So the conditions of this peace is that we understand in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. We can move on. We can live. And a law for our thoughts. I love this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about. That means to ponder, to mull it over, dwell on it. It requires serious thought to find the beauty and the good in life, the things that honor God. For Paul, this meant our Christian fellowship, our family. The love we have for one another is family love. That which we experience, that's which I couldn't put into words but was so excited about this morning as you came in and we greeted one another and we experienced the joy of being in fellowship with one another. That is good. I'm going to ponder that the rest of the day. That's a good stuff. And that will overcome divisions. And that will set us on the right course. And I'm pretty sure that's what Paul has in mind as he writes to the church in Philippi. And we, by extension, benefit from his teaching. So what? First of all, peace is God's gift. we have shalom. We have peace with God. He's our Father. He loves us unconditionally, as I I just sat in awe as the woman, the grieving widow, explained she's okay with her anger at God because He's her Father. I love that. It explains a lot, too, as I look back on my relationship with my girls as a father. You know, because they can just blow it all out right at Dad, and it's okay because Dad loves me. I love that. That's good. Peace is God's gift. We have peace with God because He gives it to us. He makes Himself known as our Father in heaven who loves us. That's good. Peace is God's command. Not only is it a gift, but it's a command. It's not just a warm fuzzy. No, it's a command, a law, an expectation. Overcome your differences. In Christ, we can find a way of peace in our relationships. And this is a teaching that I think we really have to dwell on and ponder, is that this call to peace, this command for peace with one another it can be messy. And it demands our obedience. It demands that sometimes we overlook that which maybe we feel like was a wrong to us in favor of the family, in favor of the love that says, you know what, God is our Father, we can get along. We will get along. Matter of fact, from this day forward, I will get along. We have to look at this peace as a command. And peace is God's promise. His peace surpasses comprehension. We can trust it. His peace is personal and it's powerful. In your and my personal life, we can trust our anxieties over to Him. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more anxiety seems to be present. And yet, I do know that I can turn those over to Him. I do know that I can always breathe a prayer. Say, God, I need Your help. Not sure what I'm getting into here, but I need Your help. I think the encouragement to hang on to Jesus is to let go of anxiety. You know, the famous phrase from the anonymous groups, let go and let God. Well, that makes sense if we let go of anxiety and hang on to God. Because if Jesus is central in our life, as Paul encourages us to keep Him foremost in our thoughts, to strive to live like Him, to learn from Him, to have Him guide our lives, then we can have peace. We will have peace. It's promised. It's ours. Peace is God's promise. So we're living in the meanwhile between Christ's ascension to heaven and His return from heaven. In the meanwhile, we're to live at peace with one another, with God, with ourselves. And that peace is in fellowship all the way around, with each other, the people that we live around. It does sound a little Pollyanna when we think about the state of our nation. But I want to say, so what? This is what the Word of God tells us. And I want to say, what you and I experience here as brothers and sisters in Christ, where we worship God together in spirit and in truth, that same joy, that same peace can flow through us to our little world, the people in our lives. I want to encourage you, trust that with all your heart. Don't get sucked into the division of this nation or politics or any other thing. Don't get sucked into it, but rather stand firm in Paul's teaching. Stand firm in the apostles' teaching. Stand firm in the Word of God. Stand firm in this peace that God gives us that's beyond our comprehension, but is certainly ours by His promise. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. God, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for the peace that passes all understanding. We thank You that this is ours because Jesus gave it to us. We thank You for the promise that You continue to keep day in and day out, that no matter what we face, You get us through it. Lord, testimony of lots of miracles as well as just Your guiding presence. We thank You for it. We pray that those who are ill will be healed. We thank You for hearing us when we pray for one another. Lord, we thank You for this church. Your presence with us here, Your going with us wherever we are. Lord, circumstances in our families that just are going to, they're messy and they require Your touch, whether it's healing or guidance or instruction, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that You will help us to trust You with all our heart, to not lean on our own understanding, but to in all our ways acknowledge You and trust You to smooth the path before us. Lord, thank You for the privilege of being Your people. And so, Lord, as we come to a time of offering, may it be just a simple and pure time of giving, free of any manipulation, just worship of You through our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.